Our scripture for today comes from Mark, chapter 5, verses 21 through 43. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue, named Jairus, came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him, and a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside, took the child's father and mother and those who were with him, and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this, and told them to give her something to eat. This is the word of the Lord. So, when I saw this gospel reading in the lectionary, I just knew that I had to talk to you about it today. I really enjoy reading Mark because of his distinct way of telling stories. They're what we like to call the Markan sandwich. He starts off telling one story, gets interrupted by another story, finishes that one, and then goes back to the first one. The point of this kind of storytelling is to make us sort of stop and think about the greater meaning, the big picture. What is Jesus really doing in these scenarios? Why did Mark put these particular stories together? And I'm not sure about you, but when I first read through this narrative, I couldn't help but think, like, maybe this interruption was actually fatal. As I read a little deeper and spent some time meditating on the passage, a few things started to stand out to me, and then I caught a little earworm. The Who's rock opera, Tommy, kept coming to mind. "See me, feel me, touch me, heal me." I think some of you out there might be somewhat familiar, but just in case, the musical begins with a young boy, Tommy, witnessing an accidental murder. The adults, the perpetrators of said murder, in an effort to convince the boy that he had not seen anything, that he wouldn't speak about the accident, repeatedly tell him that he hasn't seen or heard anything. And their plan works a little too well, because Tommy becomes blind, deaf, and mute. Tommy is taken to several physicians and psychologists and other, let's say, less reputable healers, all to no avail. Tommy is often taken advantage of and preyed upon. He's unable to fight back. He's not even able to tell anybody what happened to him. And that refrain, see me, feel me, touch me, heal me, it's brought up several times within the musical. See, Tommy is an outcast primarily because of his differences. And while healing does mean regaining sight and hearing and speech, what he and other characters in the musical are really asking for, reaching for, is to be seen and touched, to be recognized. Now, at the beginning of the gospel passage, Jesus is approached by Jairus. He's a high, holy official of the synagogue. He has religious and social status, probably a little wealthy. He's an important guy. Now, Jairus is worried about his sick daughter, and it looks like she might not survive the illness. And he, like pretty much everyone else around, knows that Jesus has been healing people left and right. Jesus starts on his way to see Jairus' daughter. But on the way, he feels something strange happen. A little bit of his power is weakened. He stops in his track, he looks around. Who touched me? And this seems like an odd question. He's already surrounded by a crowd of people. Could have been anybody. And then one woman comes shyly forward. She admits that he thought that if her hand could just brush against Jesus' cloak, that she might be healed. You see, she had been hemorrhaging for 12 years. She wasn't just struggling physically. Hemorrhaging has affected her entire life. She spent all the money that she had going to all of the best doctors and specialists until she became destitute. Her condition made her lose friends. Family members ostracized her because she was unclean. I mean, I can definitely imagine how messy chronic hemorrhaging would be. But not only was she like literally messy, she was also socially and religiously unclean. Anyone who encountered her was required to perform these cumbersome cleansing rituals. So most people avoided her. The woman seems afraid. Maybe she expects Jesus to be angry? I mean, she took this initiative to touch him. She made him ritually unclean. She knows the rules. Instead, Jesus takes the time to talk to the woman and listen to her whole story. Even though she is penniless, even though she is physically and socially and spiritually unclean, Jesus looks the woman in the eye. Jesus sees her. Jesus touches her. Jesus didn't just physically heal the woman. Even more importantly, Jesus pauses to specifically name her inclusion into God's family. Daughter, he says to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. He stopped. He talked to her. He saw her. He felt her. He touched her. Now, normally in Mark, this is about the time that Jesus asks the people to be quiet and not tell anybody about what they witnessed or how they were healed. But in this case, Jesus healed the woman in public, in front of a crowd. Not only does Jesus see her, but he wants to be sure that everyone else sees her. She is no longer unclean, but she's now part of society and one of God's daughters. She is fully healed. As Jesus is talking to the woman, news arrives that Jairus' 12-year-old daughter has succumbed to her illness. While Jesus paused to listen to this nameless, penniless, unclean woman, the daughter of this important, wealthy, religious leader has died. Now, to be fair, we don't know that Jairus' daughter would still be alive had Jesus not stopped to touch and heal the hemorrhagic woman. But when Jesus arrives, family, friends, and neighbors can be heard weeping the loss of this child. Jesus told the mourners that their grief was preemptive. The child's not dead, she's only sleeping. Right? Like, you think they didn't check first? Come on, Jesus. Maybe he said this in an attempt to not, like, raise suspicion about his ability to raise the dead. People knew he could heal, but bringing the dead back to life is a whole other level. Maybe he really did think that she was sleeping and not dead. Regardless, the mourners were sure that the little girl was not sleeping, and they laughed at Jesus for suggesting something so ridiculous. So Jesus is a skilled healer. He could have easily said a word from outside the house, but that is not Jesus' style. He brought the girl's parents with him as he went inside to see her. He wants to touch the unclean corpse. As he holds her hand and talks to her in her native language, "Talitha, kum, rise up, little girl." And she did. So fully restored was she that she was able to walk around and eat. Here's the thing. Although Jesus did heal individuals, Jesus' real purpose was to heal the systems that create outsiders. These systems say that, you know, there are some people that are unclean or undesirable. But Jesus came to show us that there are no outsiders or insiders. Only God's children. We're all God's children. Just as the hemorrhagic woman was on the margins of society, there are a lot of people in our world, in this country, in our own city, that are clinging to the margins of society. Just like Tommy was clinging to the margins of society. It was only after Tommy was seen, touched, felt, that he was healed and was able to see, touch, feel, and heal others. I mean, there's a little more to that, but let's follow the metaphor as long as we can go. So why don't we take up the challenge to see, to touch, to feel, and heal the people around us that we see notice, that society has thrown out, the same way that Jesus sees, touches, feels, and heals each of us. Thanks be to God. Amen.